love it. There is a stalled vehicle in the right lane causing a bit of congestion. You might want to avoid this route.
The forecast, cloudy, windy, and cold.
Thanks a lot.
Sunny breaks and diminishing winds.
I need you to process these. All of them. By Friday.
Thanks.
Oh, no ketchup. Awesome. Thanks for nothing.
Thank you, sir. You're very welcome.
Come on. Go. Yeah, thanks a lot. It's not like we need you to catch a pass or anything.
Why are you thankful about that, Daddy?
I was just being sarcastic, honey.
What's sarcastic?
It's what Daddy's like when he's in a bad mood.
Really thankful?
No, I am thankful. I'm thankful for a lot of things. Thankful for you, for one, and thankful for Mommy. God's been really good to us, taking care of us. Not so much of our football team, but he's taking really good care of us. Thank you, sweetie.
For what?
For reminding me.
It's so easy for our Thanksgiving to become sarcastic or ironic. And Father, this morning, would you remind us why we have so much to be thankful for? Really, no matter what we are experiencing today, we of all people should be thankful. So Father, speak to us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, truly be pleasing in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. We thank you for this time now, and that's just the beginning of the thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I'm going to try to not kick one of these boxes off the stage. And are we thankful? Boy, that's exciting to think about what these are going to accomplish. This past week, I think because I've, you get into on the internet, and the algorithms determine what it is you're interested in, and I obviously have been Googling things like Samaritan's Purse and the Operation Christmas Child, and so in my feed up came this video on YouTube that was titled The Truth Behind OCC, and I thought, oh my goodness, here we go. You know, can't something just be good? So I watched it, and the encouraging thing was the truth behind OCC is that it's a good organization. And this guy, you can see it yourself, but it kind of looks like, the unvarnished truth behind, Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. And it's written by a guy who is hired on for the season, and he goes on and on about how, man, all the stuff they're doing, it's genuine. They it's getting to where it's supposed to go, and so it's just was an encouraging video, which was good for a change. And in fact, I guess probably that title is what made me go to it. If it was like more praise for OCC, well, I've heard that. So when we wonder if they're going to criticize it, that's the thing. And speaking of that, Thanksgiving, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving, a day when we set aside in order to give thanks to God. But of course, we all know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that the Bible teaches us that Thanksgiving is not just a one-day thing. It should be an ongoing, continual, daily, even moment-by-moment attitude. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to go along with this. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. We are commanded to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how about 1 Thessalonians 5? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul's main themes here as you look at these passages are praise and thanksgiving. But notice some of the other important words in this passage. It's not just praise and thanksgiving. There are words like always, words like without ceasing, words like in all circumstances. It sounds like Paul might be talking about a church service here, but it's actually, he is talking about our ongoing, continuing attitude as Christians. In fact, the Ephesians passage follows where he tells us to be filled with the Spirit, and the result should be thanksgiving. And this thanksgiving is not just our words, even our actions, it's the attitude of our hearts, how we are to behave towards each other. And so how can we have this attitude without ceasing? Especially how can we have this attitude in all circumstances? I mean, when we look at the world scene, we see what's happening, particularly over in the Middle East right now. You know, how can we be thankful for things like that? Well, it depends largely on how we see our circumstances. A favorite illustration of mine came from a gal who wrote her parents home from college. And here's what she wrote to them. "Dear Mom, I'm sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke my arm and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky, though. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department, and they were there in minutes. And I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, he came to see me every day, and because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, he allowed me to move in with him. Paul has been so nice. Oh, and did I tell you I'm pregnant? Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he gets his divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I'll write more when I get the chance. Love your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, none of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news with the proper perspective." And guys, if we are going to be thankful in all circumstances, that is the key right there, to have the proper perspective. Now, what is perspective? Well, perspective is seeing things as they really are. Artists will draw things in order to give you a sense of the depth that is happening. Things will be drawn bigger or smaller so you can get a sense of just what is happening. We see perspective in how we perceive things as people attempt to help you to understand what something really is. Perspective for this particular girl was, "Look how bad it could be, Mom. All I did was flunk chemistry." Okay. And there are, and guys, I think for many of us, it is our perspective that keeps us from truly being thankful. One of those perspectives, one of those attitudes that we have is an attitude of pride. You see, the attitude of pride is essentially saying, nobody gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. For years I studied, for years I worked hard, and now it's finally paying off, and I have nobody to thank but myself. Why thank God when I've done all this work? Another one is being critical or constantly complaining. That affects your perspective. Instead of being grateful, the person who is critical will always find something to complain about. I often think of these people, they must think they have the gift of discouragement, which is not a gift. You will not find that in the list of spiritual gifts. But they're the ones that always see the glass half empty or totally empty. A third perspective is just being unaware of what's going on. For some of us, we are so busy looking at ourselves, we miss out on what God is doing. We're so busy doing it ourselves that we miss out what God wants to do. The children of Israel in the Old Testament were a great example of this. Here God, we see in the book of Exodus how God delivered them from slavery, from Egypt, and yet as they are out leaving and partaking in the Exodus, they begin to complain. We see it in Exodus 16, and it says this. It's starting in verse 2. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hands of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the entire assembly with hunger." Yeah, so we were slaves, and so they were abusing us and taking advantage of us. But now, you know, we realize how good it was there in Egypt. It wasn't so bad being a slave. We had meat, we had bread, we had all that stuff. And so God hears them. And what does God do? He miraculously provides manna for them for 6 days. And on the sixth day, you get double amount of manna, so you're not working on the Sabbath. But that doesn't stop them either. We read in Numbers 11, he says in verse 5, "We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." It's like nothing you can do is going to satisfy these people. I mean, think about it, guys. They had a miracle from God every day. God was providing for them miraculously, and yet they were not satisfied even with that. Silly Israelites, right? Well, guys, God is still doing miracles. And I wonder, do you see what God is doing for you? Do you have that perspective? If we're proud or critical or unaware or focused on ourselves, guys, we will never truly be thankful for all that God has given to us. And if any nation ought to be thankful to God, it should be those of us here in America. Even with our problems, we should be thankful. And if there's any people in America who ought to be thankful to God, of all people, it should be those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? We should be thankful. So today, in preparation for this Thursday, and hopefully in preparation for this afternoon, because again, we want this to be a continual, daily, moment-by-moment thing, let's check out what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. And we could go on for hours. I won't. But let me give you a snapshot of what Scripture says about Thanksgiving. And the first thing we see is that we should talk about our Thanksgiving. Psalm 104 tells us that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and bless his name. Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let all those who fear the Lord say," let's say it, "his steadfast love endures forever." In Luke 17, we read about these 10 men who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. And out of those 10 men, only one of them came back to say thank you to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Where are the other nine?" You see, only one of them was willing to take the time to say thank you. And so what does Jesus say to him in verse 19? "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, why is Jesus saying that? I mean, like the other nine guys, he was already healed of his leprosy. He was already well. He had already gone, like the others, and had shown himself to the priest. It was done. So obviously, Jesus here is not talking about a physical healing. He's talking about a spiritual healing. He's talking about a mental healing as well. Made well means that he was made whole. He was saved. And how sad would it be if all he had was a physical healing from leprosy? Yeah, it'd be great in this life, but that's the extent of it. This guy was saved to right down into his spirit. And in a real way, guys, we also are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists today tell us that gratitude, thanksgiving, is one of the healthiest of all the emotions we can have. When I work with a lot of people that are going through a lot of struggles, and trust me, the people that are thankful have it much better than people who are critical or are constantly complaining or constantly rehearsing the struggles and the insults and the crises that they have in their life. One guy who does studies on stress, a sociologist, said this: gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. It actually releases endorphins into your system. It literally makes you feel good. And not only that, a thankful heart will endear us to others as well. I mean, don't you love to be around people that are complaining and downcast and discouraging? No, we don't. And there are certain of you that I just love being around, because when I'm down, I know you're going to bring me back up. And guys, our thanksgiving not only brings up us up, it lifts up God. It glorifies Him. It draws us closer to Him. But the opposite is also true. If we don't talk about our thanksgiving, it can actually separate us from God. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul talks about this great separation that we have from God. It's called the doctrine of condemnation, all of chapter 1. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. And what happened? They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. People who are ungrateful to God, who are not thankful for what He has done, will not follow Him, but it gets worse. Their hearts become darkened. Pride will keep people from worshiping God and even being thankful. So our thanksgiving throughout Scripture says that we are told we are to talk about it. We are to be very vocal with it. A second thing we see in Scripture, again, just skimming the surface here, is that our thanksgiving should be growing. And there's some specific ways that we see it, that we see that it should grow. Number one, our blessings should grow. One of the jobs that I have at our house is I do the dishes. And I kind of like it. It's sort of therapeutic. It struck me that when the kids were all living at home, there were five of us, it seemed like, and then my dad was living with us too, it seemed like we had mountains of dishes. I mean, the dishes never ended. And I thought, okay, well, one of these days they're all going to leave, and then, you know, I'll be sad that they're not with us anymore, but there won't be as many dishes. I don't know what it is. There's just two of us, and there are just as many dishes. And I have a tendency to look at that pile of dishes and just thank God. Lord, You have blessed me with these. No, I don't really do that. But you know what? Maybe I should. Because to just complain about the dishes means that is the extent of my perspective. Think about it this way. You know, maybe expand your thoughts a little bit. Go, you know, step back and get perspective on what's happening. What does that sink of dishes actually mean? It means we have food, we have water, we have supplies, we have things. Do you realize, guys, that 2/3 of the world this morning are going to go to bed hungry tonight? Our prayers, you see, are often pretty general. We say, thank You, God, for all Your blessings. But what blessings are you really thankful for? Maybe you need to be thinking about some of those things rather than just looking at the perspective of what I see right there in front of me. There's an old hymn. So it goes like this: count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That's great advice. That's biblical, scriptural advice. Our thanksgiving should also include our struggles, our sufferings, if you will. And this is a tough one. I mean, remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians: give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything. Now, some people might think, well, Paul didn't necessarily mean everything, or maybe this was easy for Paul to say, because of what he experienced in life. Trust me, it wasn't. Paul knew struggles. He knew suffering. In 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about his thorn in the flesh, which he says is a messenger of Satan sent to harass him, and how he prayed for that to be lifted, and God said, no, it's not going to be lifted. I have a purpose in this. Life was a struggle for the Apostle Paul, the man who tells us that we are to be thankful in all things and to pray without ceasing. In 2 Corinthians 11, he gives kind of a synopsis of some of the experiences he had in his life. We see that he was run out of town, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was imprisoned, he was betrayed by his friends, he was naked and cold and hungry and shipwrecked and stoned with real rocks. All because of his faith. And yet Paul never, according to him, stopped giving thanks. How could he do that? It was his perspective on what he was going through. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Instead of just looking at what's happening to me right now, what does he do? He expands his perspective to an eternal perspective, and suddenly, you know, it ain't going to be all that bad in light of eternity. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's his ultimate response to not getting his prayer answered, to have the thorn in his flesh, whatever it was, removed. Philippians 1:12, Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul was arrested and put in prison. And you know what happened? Because of that, the Roman government began being infiltrated from the inside out, because they brought the virus, if you will, right into the prison system. And he began preaching and ministering to the Roman guard, and they went to others. And within 300 years, we see that Christianity is a huge thing in the Roman government after being an outlaw religion in the beginning. See, Paul didn't see his problems as problems. He saw them as blessings. He saw them as opportunities. Why? Because God put me here, and I may not understand right now why this is happening or what purpose there is in this, but I know the one who put me here, and so therefore there's got to be something. And guys, when we have this kind of perspective, we can, in fact, be thankful in all circumstances. In our weakness, God can make us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives because we're admitting that we're struggling. He helps us through those tough times that we could never face on our own. You see, Paul is not saying that we have to be thankful for our problems. Be careful of that, okay? That's kind of crazy. No, he says be thankful in your problems. I mean, if you're thankful for your problems, I guess there's a context in that, but that's what he says. He says, be thankful in them. You are in them. And being thankful in them while they're happening, quite often God gets to use even that for a much greater purpose. Understand that others can come to Christ because of what they see you going through in the middle of difficult times, and suddenly all this religious talk that you have becomes real. When they look at you and they say, "How can you survive this?" and you say, "It's Jesus Christ," they begin thinking, maybe there is something to this, this peace that passes all understanding that you talk about. And it makes an impression on them. One more thing, Thanksgiving should also include our advantages. As we saw already, when the Israelites talked about or faced or kept in front of them what they didn't have, they failed to see the miracles that were happening all around them. They failed to see what they did have. And when we hopefully are constantly adding to our prayer list, "What Lord, this is what I need from you. This is what we need you to do." But more than anything, guys, we should also be adding to our praise list. Recognizing that, "God, this is what you are doing. Here is how you're working in my life. Here are the things that are happening." We've all had difficult times, but trust me, guys, if you really look at some point, hopefully you'll be able to see that there are advantages to your situation as well. And maybe even if you don't, that then again, faith just kicks in. And you say, "Okay, where I don't understand, that's where I'm going to trust the Lord." I remember a study that was done years ago where they took a guy and they put him in Central Park, New York, and they put glasses on him and hung a sign on him and gave him a cup, and the sign simply said, "I'm blind," and he had a cup, and he was begging, basically. And they said throughout that day, he collected about $4 in change in his cup. The second day, they changed the sign. Everything was the same except the sign. They changed the sign to say, it's springtime and I'm blind. And that day he raised over $100 in his little cup. Why is that? Because it gave people perspective. At one point, you're just blind and, oh, well, I'm sad for that. But man, when it's springtime, it causes people to realize, oh, you know, he's missing out on all of this. He doesn't see the plants and the flowers and the trees. And that perspective opened up their hearts. And that's often how God can use us, even through those difficulties. So our Thanksgiving should be talked about. Our Thanksgiving should be growing, but also one more, our Thanksgiving throughout Scripture is just expected. Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for us, and he knows that if we will do it, that our lives will be changed. How is that? Well, number one, we'll grow. We'll grow. Oh, you know, have you ever noticed how ungrateful babies are? Some of you are experiencing it right now, right? And what does your baby do? He cries, you know, and they want to be picked up, or they want to be fed, or they want to, you know, be changed, or whatever needs to happen. Okay, and you do it, and who knows if they're thankful or not? But as soon as you put them down, what happens? You know, do they say thank you, mommy? I appreciate you giving me food when I screamed and shouted like that. No, they start screaming and shouting all over again. That's immaturity. Hopefully we are growing, and hopefully we recognize how blessed we are. We recognize ourselves. We recognize how we are blessed by God, how we are blessed by others, and then begin talking about it. That produces that kind of growth. A second thing that'll happen is we'll become generous. When we realize how much God has done for us, it's kind of the concept behind the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Tabernacles, or as we call it, the ingathering. And as we realize how much God does for us and continues to do for us, we should be more than happy to give back to him. It comes through our time, through our financial giving. In fact, somebody once said, in order for Thanksgiving to be real, there needs to be thanks, and there needs to be giving. They all go together. Just as God has blessed us, we should bless his work by our giving. James said it this way, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Do you have any good gifts in your life? Can you think of how God is working in your life and what he is doing for you? Our thanksgiving is expected. It's God's will for us. And when we are thankful, we will grow, we'll become generous, and one more, we'll become stronger in our faith. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to pick up at verse 8. You will not be constantly critical. You'll not be pessimistic, but thankful. And even though the difficult times, guys, they are just that. They are difficult. I'm not just standing up here trying to somehow say to minimize the problems you're having. Some of you, as I look around here, you have tremendous struggles and issues in your life. But what God is saying is, no matter how bad that is or how big that may seem, I'm bigger and I'm better, okay? And they'll not break you. How's that for perspective? And I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then look down to verse 17, because we could go on and on with that, but I think you get the idea. Verse 17, here's his conclusion. For this light, momentary affliction, and how can he call it that? Because again, he's looking at it in light of eternity. And eternity goes on for a long time. And the time we spend on this earth is going to be like that. It's going to be a wisp. It's going to be nothing at all. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Begin to get that eternal perspective. Yeah, it's tough now. I've been there. Have you? Where you say, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know God loves me, and I know someday I'm going to be in his presence. And sometimes that's the only hope I have, because I don't see any way out of the struggle that I'm going through right now. The psalmist was right. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Have you been going through some of those difficult times? Have you prayed, even prayed hard, but they're still there? You open your eyes and it's all still there. And so you, in faith, you told yourself, keep on going, and someday this will disappear. Someday they'll behave. Someday it'll be okay. But it didn't disappear. Maybe it even got worse. Well, I have a suggestion for you. Why not try thanking God in the midst of that struggle you're going through right now? This morning, I want to encourage you to do two things. First, thank God for what you're going through. I was sitting down and jotting out a prayer. Lord, I know there's a reason for this. Maybe there's a lesson that I need to learn. Maybe there's some growth that needs to happen in my life, and this is the only way it's going to happen. But no matter what, Lord, even if I don't know the results or the reasons or where this is going or why this is happening, if I don't know any of that stuff, Lord, I still thank you in this situation. Why? Because you told me to, and that's good enough. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in your love for me. I'm going to trust that you will care for me, even in this, and I'm going to pray that your holy will would be done in my life. That's the first thing. Thank God. Try thanking God in what you're going through right now. And the second thing, of course, as we've been saying all morning, begin to see your life in a different way. Begin to get some perspective on what's happening in your life in light of what's happening literally around the world. A few years ago, I received an email that has continued to affect me right down to today. And it went like this. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, then you are more blessed than the 6 million who will not survive this week. If you have ever experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church service without fear of persecution or arrest or torture or death, then you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world this morning. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. And if you have money in the bank, money in your wallet, some spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. I don't know about you, but that's something that impacts me. And I think about that this Thanksgiving season. We may be sad and we may be struggling in our hardships about things that are happening to us or things that we don't have anymore or the way people have treated us. But guys, we should never forget just how much God has blessed us as well. And maybe even recognize that things could be a lot worse and are for most of the world this morning. And here's the thing, guys, if Jesus Christ is your personal Savior this morning, then you have got it made. No matter what happens in this life, you're going to heaven. You're spending eternity with Him, and that is going to be constant happiness and joy forever and ever and ever. That's the perspective we need, and I can't imagine how we cannot be thankful if we adopt that perspective. So my prayer this morning is that that's exactly what we'll do. And we'll be able to find those reasons to thank God even in our hardships. Years ago, there was a band, Christian band, by the name of Petra. And one of my favorite songs of theirs was Thankful Heart. And the chorus was very simple, but very profound. I have a thankful heart that you have given me. And it can only come from you. And my prayer this morning for myself, for each one of us here today, for those listening online with us today, my prayer is that that song, those words, would become more and more true in our lives. And of course, the only way that can happen is if you do, in fact, know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've accepted his gift of salvation, that as a result of our sin, as a result of our separation from God, we were lost and going to hell. And Jesus came and he said, even though the wages of sin is death, I am coming so that you don't have to die for your own sins. I will go to the cross and I will die for you. All that's left for us is to accept that gift. We call it ABCs. Admit our need of a Savior. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and what he did for us. And then C is choose. Make a choice. Make him real in your life. In a few minutes, we're going to have a baptism where someone is going to declare that that's exactly what's happened in their life. And we get to rejoice with them over what God has done and continues to do in their lives. What about you? Have you allowed him to die for your sins? He's already done it. All that's left is for you to make it effectual in your life and to claim that promise and to accept that gift. Don't go another day without doing that. Just say, Lord, you know, scripture says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. The worship team can come on back up. Not going to have any takeaways this morning. I just realized that's usually their cue. And guys, if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you, all of us really, let's talk about our Thanksgiving. Let's grow in our Thanksgiving and let's give thanks always, just as God expects us to do. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for, Father, the things that are happening in our lives. And I'm not, Father, pretending that somehow it's going to make the pain all okay. The pain will still probably be there in many cases. But Father, your blessings, your grace, your mercy is greater than all of those things if we see it that way, if we allow that to be how we order our lives. So Father, especially I pray for those that may be struggling this morning, may have questions even about what we're hearing from your word today. And Lord, I would just say to that person what I often say to myself, what have I got to lose? Yeah, I may or may not believe. I'm like the father in the book of Mark who, when asked if I believe that Jesus can heal my child, I immediately say, yes, Lord, I believe, because I know that's the right answer. And yet in the same breath, what does he say? Lord, help me in my unbelief. He recognized in that moment that he really did struggle with even believing what Jesus was saying to him. And Father, I'm there a lot, and I know many of my brothers and sisters here find themselves in that place. And so I would pray that same prayer, Lord, help us in our unbelief. Take that first step. Thank God even for that struggle. Get into his word, get his perspective, and become the witness to this world that he wants us to be. We thank you. We praise you. We look forward to what you're going to do throughout this entire holiday season as many people come to know your son, Jesus Christ, through our testimony. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for the testimony we're going to hear and see in just a few minutes in the waters of baptism. We pray and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.